It's time once again for Dialogue Conspiracy with political research specialist Mae Brussel, who for 5 years has shared with us her extensive research into political assassinations and abuses of power in this country. Her program relates the news of the week to emerging evidence about the conspiracy which allegedly maintains by force its control over the legislative, executive, and judicial processes in America. And now, Mae Brussel.
Good afternoon. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California, Monday, Labor Day weekend. It's Dialogue Conspiracy number 233, September the 6th, 1976. I can't remember a time that I've done these broadcasts in the last 5.5 years, with the exception of the arrest of the Watergate Hotel, that I came with information as important as I have to share with you today. It's complicated. I'm going to go very slowly because sometimes I race along with these shows. And if necessary, we'll continue it next week on Dialogue Conspiracy and do a two-part. If I don't cover the material that I want to take with you today and get you to the place I want to go with the definitions of the experiences I'm talking about, we'll continue it in a two-part rather than race through it because it's terribly important in terms of my research into the past political assassinations. Unlike most of my regular shows, I don't usually announce ahead of time what I'm going to talk about a week ahead, but last week I did mention that I was going to talk about the murder of a man in Los Angeles named Robert Hall because I feel that this is the most important story to break in the United States since the Watergate or since the Kennedy assassination because of the links of this particular case to all the tentacles of the research that I'm doing. And I said briefly that this case involved police suppression at Burbank and Los Angeles Police Department, the Intelligence Division. It has links to doctors and druggists in Beverly Hills and to the drugging and killing of musical groups, a murder-for-hire group. It has to do with tranquilizer guns, drugs located inside of darts, chemical formulas. And this story has to do with the suppression of the major news media, and I'm going to take you through step by step what the news media has carried today as of this date. This gentleman died. He was murdered, Robert Hall, in July of this year, July 22nd, 1976. And as yet, there has not been an Associated Press, United Press, news story, Reuters. The major media isn't covering it, and of course, the CBS, NBC, the American Broadcasting have had nothing on the television news about this case. The case is so high up that, like the Watergate, they're hoping that it will be linked to a few narcotic dealings. In the Watergate, it was the Cuban connection, and the whole subject would be dropped. The point is that the rock music scene has been a very political activity from the very beginning of its inception. The message was in the music. There was a whole change in America in 1967 of war babies growing up. And I'm going into the politics of rock music. One thing I do want to mention before we get into that is that I am having trouble getting my tapes out like I had last spring. The certain tape that I made a few weeks ago that goes to New York City was not put in. It was put in the post office in Carmel. It had no postage mark on it. It was not put in the box in New York City that it's always delivered to. The mailman went upstairs to the third floor and hand-delivered it. The next week, the tape didn't arrive at all, and then last week, two tapes arrived in New York City and took 10 to 12 days to be delivered. The tape that was sent to San Diego never arrived. I know I have harassment by the post office department on these things. I had it before. It's expensive and it's time-consuming. The people call and say, where are the tapes? And we know that they're still up to their dirty tricks. There's a good reason that they should be. So I am having trouble getting these out, and I do want to do more stations like I did in the spring, pick them up now that college is starting. And I hope I can go to the post office and try to let them know that I'm not very satisfied with this. And I apologize to the people that this is happening to, and we are dubbing off the extra tapes. Now, in conjunction with Robert Hall, he's one of many people that is being killed in a total gang war. I call it gang war. It's the intelligence community in their last desperation killing each other off very rapidly so that the links to the White House, to the Drug Enforcement Agency, to the Howard Hughes Suma Corporation will be cut off for investigative purposes. We saw that after John Kennedy was killed. People that were involved with the intelligence community, definitely linked to the intelligence community, such as Lee Harvey Oswald with his Navy intelligence and FBI contacts, and Jack Ruby with his FBI contacts. And there was Guy Bannister and David Ferry and Clay Shaw, Sheriff Roger Craig, Hugh Ward, Robert Navarro, Emmanuel Rodriguez, Ed Kendricks. A whole group of agents were killed in conjunction with the John Kennedy assassination that were directly involved with the intelligence community. Another area where agents are being killed in conjunction with the intelligence community comes out in the link of, say, Sam Giancana, who was to testify at the Senate Intelligence Committee this last spring, and he was murdered before he testified on possible links of the CIA. And did they attempt to kill Castro, and did Castro retaliate and kill John Kennedy? And in order to keep any information coming from these people where they wouldn't be caught with perjury and might tell the truth, all links to the Kennedy assassination before these committees have to be tidied up. Sam Giancana was murdered before he testified. A few weeks later, John Roselli testified, and he was murdered after he testified. A contact man through Robert Mayhew and the Central Intelligence Agency and the Howard Hughes Organization that hired Roselli and Giancana, his name is Sheffield Edwards, he died. He was director of security, and he gave the orders that the CIA wanted Castro killed. Another gentleman died, and his name is very quietly left out of the news, and he testified before the Senate committee. I think it's outrageous. There is no obituary in any of the newspapers that a man who testifies before a Senate Intelligence Committee just in June of 1976, after three other persons involved in the same operation that he was in were killed, this gentleman died, and his name is William Harvey. And the story was that he died of a massive heart attack. And I picked up his name in the Washington Post in conjunction with a theory about Castro's retaliation, and they just innocently went on to say that he had testified at the Senate. And Mr. Harvey is the gentleman who supplied all the poison and ammunition for the assassination attempts against Fidel Castro that John Roselli and Sam Giancana were to use. I have no particular love for any of these hired-to-kill rascals, and I have no sympathy for them that they're all being killed. But the important thing is that the people in power, starting, say, with Gerald Ford, who covered up the Kennedy assassination, and Leon Jaworski, and Alan Dulles is gone. There's Richard Helms, the ambassador to Iran, and Mr. Colby, and Mr. Hagan, head of NATO. There's still a long, long list of people who were involved in the Bay of Pigs operation, in Lee Harvey Oswald's U-2 flights for the CIA, have a long history of knowledge of what is going on, and so that eventually our history will be denied us because this assassination war is taking place. An agent called me this week, in the middle of the week, in the middle of the night, and told me that he had done contract killings for the Central Intelligence Agency. He had heard my show on Dialogue Conspiracy last week where I talked about Robert Hall, and that he had offered to help in some way to confirm what I knew about killing the rock musicians, for example. And his beef was that he got tired of being hired for kill. This is what he told me. His next assignment is a particular congresswoman, and when he reneged, they went after his jugular vein and almost killed him, and there was an altercation, at which point he called the intelligence community to tell them that he had tape recordings of everything he did and would expose these 10 killings, and they better keep their hands off of him. So I know there are people at Navy Postgraduate School, at Fort Ord, at the Defense Language School that listened to these shows and hired killers on the Monterey Peninsula I've heard about, and the intelligence community is very thick here with the Kashawa satellite communications out in the valley. And the best security for you, if you've been involved and hired to kill or you're part of these assassination conspiracies, the only life insurance now is not to hide and not to put up a stiff front, but make 3 or 4 copy tape cassettes of what you have done and make sure they're located, one out of the country, one with your lawyer, and several, say, with a certain congressman and close friends. And this is the best hope for the assassination story to break open, because there are people now that are seeing their own agents, their own friends. This gentleman told me one of his buddies in the agency did have one of these lobotomies, such as in the movie The Borgia Stick, that they do indeed take out their brains and kill them. And I know this is happening. All I have to do is read the paper and run down the list. So the best way for these people to survive and to serve their country is to come forward. Now, I've followed the politics of rock music. We have a whole young generation listening to KLRB. 9 years ago, the Monterey Pop was a very exciting time where some of the best musicians, new young rock musicians, came to Monterey, California to put on a concert. And this was the time that Rand was doing studies that higher-up, wealthy Republican children were leaving home. The Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco was filled with a group of children, what I call the atomic age, the nuclear family, leaving their homes and coming out to California and picking up new families where they shared their transportation, their housing, and their sounds and their messages. And it was at the Monterey Pop in the middle of a recorded scene that they were doing for a movie of the same name, and I think it was CBS making a record, that the Birds stopped everything and said, I know they won't put this on the record, and they're not going to tell you who killed John Kennedy. There are a lot of stars there that were killed, and I can go into the circumstances of their death either this week or next week. There was Janis Joplin, age 27, Jimi Hendrix, 27, Jim Morrison, Brian Jones, the Rolling Stones, found floating in a pool, Otis Redding, Mama Cass, and many of them have connections to what I'm going to say about Robert Hall. The other deaths that I will run down later of rock stars, these are deaths of suspicious circumstances, not ordinary deaths. Al Jackson, a producer who worked with Booker T and the MGs, Paul Williams from the Temptations, found anonymously near the Motown office, and the ones I mentioned, the Monterey Pop people, Jim Croce, whose wife has a $2.5 million suit against the FAA for negligence on the runway, Richard Farina, who left an autographing party in Carmel Valley, and his motorcycle went into a tree, and he was fatally killed. Tim Buckley, an article, The Mystery of Tim Buckley, who, big surf folk singer, went to Texas, and a person now has been charged with poisoning him. Dwayne Allman, the brother of Greg Allman, an airplane crash in 72. Lefty Brazil, a massive stroke just after four big hits. Robbie McIntosh, that was given heroin, cocaine with heroin and strychnine in it. And Ken Moss, the host of the gathering where it was supposed to be playing cocaine, was charged with murder. We had almost fatal crash of Led Zeppelin in Greece in the summer of 75, just before a tour. There was the almost fatal crash of Bob Dylan when he went into seclusion and came out with a song on Hurricane this last year. He's done no political work since that time. And the knifing, the photographing of the Hell's Angels being hired and killed and then acquitted for killing a man at the concert of the Rolling Stones, and a movie was made of the scene of the killing. And Stevie Wonder, who has a lawsuit against the driver, he was almost killed in an almost fatal crash, and Quincy Jones, a massive stroke he lived through. I have a list of many musicians, Rod McCurran, 27 years old, the Pigpen of the Grateful Dead, his autopsy said he probably died of natural causes. The autopsy is inconclusive. Another rock group killed in an airplane crash, a trumpeter with Woody Herman, who formed a group called The Chase, who had hit records on the three hit albums going at the time he was killed. Vinnie Taylor, lead guitarist for the Sha-Na-Na, found out in a motel room. She was at the Woodstock Rock Festival on the way to Pittsburgh. The Coliseum was sold out. She was found dead, and I could give you a few more, but I think you get the idea that I believe that the circumstances of those mentioned were very questionable. And even Janis Joplin, a lot of people have studied her death and said, oh, she had an OD on heroin. There were no recent marks on her arm. Dr. Thomas Noguchi, the chief doctor, the autopsy expert in Los Angeles, said that on the autopsy report, this is in quotes, while she died from an overdose of heroin, it doesn't imply that she tried to take her own life. And I will go more into each of these maybe next week and into the politics, the order, such as the youth organization saying all rock festivals prohibited in the Las Vegas area, and even the cable splicer, the martial law plan that Ronald Reagan signed that was to go into effect in case of an emergency or a created emergency, and rock musicians and pop concerts were listed as dangerous, where there were all kinds of crazy, sexy things going on, and rock concerts were dirty. And this goes into the politics of cable slicer, that rock festivals are a commonplace, where violence is commonplace and sex is unrestrained. And the IRS was ordered, this is December the 9th, 1974, the IRS admitted the people who attend rock concerts were listed among targets for investigation by special staff. They are, in quotes, ideological groups, and their patrons were, in quotes, to be watched by the IRS. The rock concert patrons were on the enemies list, and this was by the IRS. And also, one thing about the politics of this is that the Central Intelligence Agency in Langley, Virginia, set up a ticket for rock concerts for their agents to buy their tickets. It's a top-secret outlet that was revealed in 1975, where the CIA employees went directly for their tickets to the rock concerts. They had a secret Ticketron outlet and still have it, the National Security Agency at Fort George Meade in Maryland, where they can get their tickets. And they can also spread their CIA drugs among the regular kinds of drugs that a person attending a rock concert might want to take to turn high, and create violence, and attend these disguised as these hippies, and they keep their little Ticketron in Maryland and in Virginia to get their tickets to the rock concerts. Well, let's go back to Robert Hall. I'm going to go slow on him because all of this story fits in to the politics of rock music, the killing of rock musicians, the Hughes Empire, Robert Vesco, the supplying of drugs. The first instance of the first knowledge I had of Robert Hall was a telephone call from Malcolm Abrams of Midnight Magazine asking me if I wanted to do a story on the murder of Robert Hall. Well, I consider myself pretty up on the news, taking 8 or 10 papers a day and reading everything I can on these subjects, and it drew a blank, which I have to admit is one of the first times since I've been doing news, I consider media reporting, I didn't know the name. He told me it was a big story. It involved higher-up politicians. They got it from one of their men in Los Angeles who writes for Midnight. He says the story's as big as Watergate and involves politicians, he told me, such as John Wayne and Ronald Reagan, and very high up, and it was a big story, and it happened just about during the time of the conventions this year. I drew a blank, so I decided to save the articles. There was no news in the Associated Press, United Press. There still hasn't been. As I say, he died July 22nd. This is September the 6th, and you haven't seen one story in your major media about Hall. The Zodiac News Service is a news service that comes out of San Francisco, the alternative press. The Zodiac News Service supplies FM radios and with their news releases, and the alternative newspapers, the Berkeley Barb, the Free Press, and other alternative newspapers. It was August the 5th, 1976, that they ran an article, and this is what it said. Another Hollywood drug and sex scandal may be brewing with the slaying of Los Angeles detective Robert Hall. Tape recordings of movie stars and film industry executives were among his possessions. They involved drugs, prostitution, blackmail. These tapes were found in his home. The Burbank Police Department are reportedly debating now whether to draw up charges against people named in the tapes. Now, the police department took 200 tapes out of the residence of Robert Hall after he was shot. It was a set-up job. He leaves a window open where a cat is fed. A person stood at the window, shot him at close range, one bullet through the brain, and when he went in the kitchen to get some cherries, and he was murdered. Then the Burbank police went in and swept up 200 tape cassettes with information that he had offered them earlier for arrest charges, which they hadn't done. And now that he was dead, they could confiscate it. The next article on Robert Hall was in this newspaper called The Star, which is something like Midnight and Tatler and National Enquirer. It was dated August 18th. It said, Hollywood star's drug link probed in sleuth's slaying. And this is what that article went on to say, that sensational disclosures linking prominent Hollywood stars with drug blackmail and possibly murder to hire, and it is the murder to hire that I was interested in, have been discovered in tape collections of a slain private eye. 195 cassette tapes, they said, contain the seeds of a scandal that's going to rock Hollywood and may result in criminal charges against several major stars. This article left out politicians and said they may have charges. Went on to say the FBI has now been called in the case because it involves the fugitive Robert Vesco, who employed or still employs Donald Nixon, who escaped to Costa Rica at the time of Watergate. The article went on to say real lives and reputations are on the line. This slain private eye was a double agent. He was an informant for the drug enforcement agencies. He worked for the government. He was linked to drug busts of musicians and actors and cocaine convictions. And then it went on to say he may even link to the death of Salminio, the actor. Now, Salminio was ready to make a movie Don Freed had written on the killing of Sirhan Sirhan, which was done with the collusion of the Los Angeles Police Department, who now contain the tapes. And this Mr. Hall was following Salminio that night, and Salminio was murdered. And the suggestion was that it may even link to Salminio. But this case goes to the Robert Kennedy assassination, and it would be very reasonable to assume that they wanted to stop the star of the movie, being as about 20 other people related to the Robert Kennedy assassination have also been killed. The story went on in the Star. This story sweeps from Beverly Hills to Malibu. Hall alleged to be following Salminio on the night the actor was stabbed. Detective Hall is also linked to Mickey Cohn, who I add like Giacchino and Rosselli, and Sheffield Edwards and Mr. William Harvey. Mickey Cohn died in the hospital, UCLA hospital, also quite suddenly. And I don't want to divert too much, but you can see why William Randolph Hearst and his wife Catherine would go to Mickey Cohn to find out what's happening to Patty, because of the links of the SLA and the Scots and Patty and the Vegas connections to various drug agencies. And I'm not going to go off on the SLA. I'm going to stick with the rock musicians now. Hall appeared to be very wealthy, the Star said. There were suggestions he involved some of the movie star clients with the information he knew into blackmailing. The killing of Robert Hall was a professional contract job. As I say, he was in the kitchen. He was shot neatly through the back of the head. He died instantly. Now, as I said, he was killed July 22nd. He worked for the Drug Enforcement. He had links to Robert Vesco, to Donald Nixon, to the Los Angeles Police Department, to every major detective in the area, and to the people who were supplying the drugs for movie stars and rock musicians, and also following Salminio the night he was murdered. The next article I got on Robert Hall, because there was only the Zodiac News and the Star, was in a newspaper in Salt Lake City that I take, and it was dated August 24th. This was a month after Hall was murdered. And this newspaper said, drug investigation calls Eddie Fisher. And they made the point that Eddie Fisher was called in because he had an association with Robert Hall, and that the investigation was going into illegal drug operations in Hollywood and Beverly Hills. And Hall had 3 years of tape conversations, and drug schemes were reported that were linked to high-up figures in finance involved at Century City in Los Angeles, West Los Angeles, and also in organized crime, and that Hall had been into narcotics activities with the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. And there are links to Sheriff Peter Pitches. And this is important because of my work of supplying the drugs for the Manson family and for the murders that came down, and where were they coming from, and if there is a Vesco drug enforcement connection tied into the Dallas-Fort Worth connections, the pieces begin to come together. I'm not going, again, to branch off on the Manson family, the SLA. All I'm going to repeat now is some of the news coverage of so far what's come out on Hall, because unless you take all these papers like I do, or I've been on the phone talking to various investigators, you are deprived of this information by the major news media. Now, Hall was associated, according to the Salt Lake paper, with two specific pharmacies that are still unnamed that were the source of supplies and drugs that were channeled and siphoned off to that could be linked to bad doses, overdoses, and causing the murders of these musicians. The Salt Lake newspaper went on to say that as a result of a two-month study, Hall had turned over to federal agencies a lot of his investigation, but the Sheriff's Department refused to investigate, and the office took no further action, which means that it was necessary to kill Mr. Hall, just like the program I did on Mr. Grossman, who worked for alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. The Salt Lake paper said it was equally frustrating was the action or the lack of it taken by the incriminating findings of another investigation that was staged at the same time and conducted by private resources. And this probe had to do with the managers of seven rock groups. Now, so far in the news that I have coming out, I don't know which doctor supplied the drugs, which dentist supplied the drugs, or which Beverly Hills pharmacies. But there was an investigation as a private investigator that Mr. Hall had done because the managers of seven rock groups claimed that their artists were completely zonked out and couldn't perform or were so stoned that they were unable to do their best or on the brink of death. And they had done this investigation or had looked into the managers complaining, who is supplying our artists? Each individual manager of seven separate rock groups was suspicious that their particular stars had been zonked out on drugs that could be harmful. And I know that some of them, and even like Lenny Bruce, could be on a certain kind of drug and be given an overdose, and then he could stop talking about the John Kennedy assassination, which was on his last tape, or next to last tape. Well, the managers became distressed about the conditions of their artists, and they had hired private detectives to uncover the source of the supply or to shut it down. Because the artists were doing well, the managers were doing well. And according to this detective, after his four-month probe of who was hurting the rock musicians for these managers, where the drugs were coming from, and he narrowed it down to two particular pharmacies, and as Robert Hall was involved, he also worked for Summa Corporation, the Hughes Organization, and Robert Vesco. And the information on these pharmacies, the physicians, is not named. They were writing what is in quotes false prescriptions. The evidence was turned over to the appropriate law enforcement authorities. No action was ever taken. No arrests were ever made. And Robert Hall was murdered. So that the source of drugs to make people irresponsible for their concerts could be supplied by these outlets. I just read this week the Rolling Stones are through. They had one of them was busted in England, and maybe they're through or maybe they're not. They were having a concert. It was sold out. The audience was there. They showed up 10 hours late. They acted irresponsibly. They hardly did their old songs in good rapport. And then you pick up a little article in the San Francisco Chronicle of Herb Cain, who doesn't give a zilch for rock musicians anyway, and tells you the Stones are through. And how many people would sit there 10 hours and wait for them to appear? What condition did they appear? Was their manager one of them that was complaining about their even smoking marijuana? When you read Philip Agee's book, Inside the Company, he tells you the CIA has cigarettes that collapse your lung. So I'm sure that any kind of marijuana or supply, if they wanted to get these people out or make them act irresponsibly, and as I say, one of them was just busted, one of the Stones was busted, as long as the man who was killed, who had the information and the police, refused to take any steps when Robert Hall was alive, you can imagine how deep this story gets. And it gets farther, and I'm going to build up to that. Continuing from the Salt Lake Tribune of the 25th of August this year, it said that Eddie Fisher was addicted to a drug called methamphetamine. For 20 years, it was supplied to him from these sources, and he got so addicted and hooked on speed that he had several needles daily. And he was sent to a doctor in New York City called Dr. Feelgood, who also gave prescriptions to John Kennedy and Jacqueline Kennedy. And Eddie Fisher went to a Swiss hospital to end his addiction in the 70s. But a Dr. Max Jacobson, who was linked to Robert Vesco and the Summa Corporation through Robert Hall, if he was supplying Eddie Fisher at this end and back east, you can see again that the President of the United States could also have his defenses down or his guards down and be giving medications for his back aid. And the nickname of the doctor was Dr. Feelgood. So the President of the United States not only was being fixed up with mafia women, a woman that was in touch with Sam Giancana and John Roselli, who can write books about it and had entree to the White House, but certainly his defenses were down, and goodness knows what Dr. Feelgood was doing at the time John Kennedy was getting his prescriptions from Dr. Feelgood. Now, the Burbank police are interviewing Eddie Fisher, and they have announced, and it was in the newspaper, that this is just the tip of the iceberg in the Robert Hall case, and you can believe it is. The Tribune said this involves the death of a man who allegedly supplied the drugs to the show business community. And again, I'm telling you the weapons. He had dart guns. He had chemicals. This was in the Los Angeles Times. We'll get to that. Tranquilizer guns. Wouldn't that get your resistance down? Drug-loaded darts that fire. And chemical formulas inside of his house at the time he was murdered. And this article in the Tribune said that it's going to take on epidemic proportions, the exposés. Well, the Salt Lake Tribune carried one more story on it the following day, August 26. The lead article was, "The police widen the investigation." The Burbank Police Department has now called in the Los Angeles Police Department. Well, you can believe they would do that. With the LAPD criminal intelligence, it's important that the CIA and the LAPD, that have the strongest individual organization of links to the FBI and CIA and counterintelligence of any private police department in the United States, it moved over there. It said the Burbank police made a raid after Robert Hall was killed, and they listened to his 200 tapes. They went over then to the apartment of former financier Thomas Richardson. Now, Richardson faces 6 years in a federal prison. He's still out on appeal, and I'm sure they're afraid to put him in because of his links to Vesco and Nixon and the Hughes Corporation and his offices at Century City. He was convicted on only a $25 million stock fraud, and he's still out on appeal. You might speak that over. I know I have a lot of people writing to me, again, from Folsom and Tracy and the prisons, Vacaville, Soledad, and listen to the shows, and you may think of the rap you're in, and this man is still out. His name is Mr. Richardson. He's out on a $25 million stock fraud, and he also was the man that supplied the weapons and the women for blackmail over to Costa Rica to Robert Vesco. He hasn't been charged with that. But the Salt Lake City paper said the police made a raid over to Richardson's, and oh, they got some more goodies. This time, they added to their pile. When the police entered Richardson's apartment with their search warrant this time, I don't give them credit, but they wanted what was in there this time. They took nearly 50 tapes from his apartment. Now the police in Los Angeles have 250 tapes, and I'm afraid they'll link the musicians, the rock musicians, or Neil Diamond's name is mentioned, or Eddie Fisher, and erase the politicians. So between Hall's tapes and Richardson's tapes, they could implicate many people, and the quotations were high-level business figures, everything from illicit drug use to blackmail to prostitution and even murder. Now, the only establishment media that's carried a story on this of any kind, and I say it wasn't syndicated, it wasn't picked up by the Washington Post, was August 28th, Los Angeles Times. And I'm giving you these dates so you can get them from the library microfilm if you want, take them off your tape. This isn't syndicated. It's written by their usual conspiracy artists, Bill Hazlett and William Farr, the experts on all the L.A. conspiracies, covering up the Taxwood allegations and disproportionate attention on Charles Manson and not Charles Watson. But this is their lead story. Beverly Hills police captain reportedly linked to slain private investigator quits. Now, that's the story I got last Monday when I was on the way to KLRB from the Los Angeles Times. It was a Saturday, August 28th story by Bill Hazlett and William Farr in the Los Angeles Times. They never ran a story about Robert Hall being murdered. But in this story, they began that the investigation of the Burbank police detectives of the murder of Robert Hall caused a police captain 17 years with the Beverly Hills Police Department to quit his job at the Beverly Hills Police Department. Now, I'm going into what the other items on this article, but I'm going to jump over one giant leap and tell you what this story is and what it means in terms of the research. The captain's name is Jack Eggers, E-G-G-E-R-S. Beverly Hills Police Chief, Assistant Chief of Police of Beverly Hills, California, my hometown since I was 2 years old, and not too many blocks from where my family lives and where I go. I know the Beverly Hills Police Office down on Cannon. I know the drive, where it is. And this captain, Jack Eggers, veteran, 17 years, the Beverly Hills Police, Canyon Drive, rather. Cannon's two blocks away on Canyon Drive. Quit because his name was brought up in the recordings of Robert Hall, who is linked to the Robert Vesco case, the Nixon, the CIA, the Summa Corporation. But if you read the book, and I want you to get out of the library, the people that follow Dialogue Conspiracy, and we'll be doing some shows about it, get Ron Kiesler's book, I Killed Flies for Howard Hughes, which sounds like a funny book. But when you read that book, the point at which Howard Hughes was kidnapped, literally disfigured, never saw the public again, the years 1957 to 58, he made only one appearance, allegedly flying a plane, but the man who wrote the book didn't see him flying the plane. He was on the ground. Those years when Howard Hughes was kept in the Beverly Hills Hotel, he could get no letter out. He got no letter in. He had a man called the third man that rented the bungalows of Beverly Hills Hotel 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. They had a team called the third man team that kept charge of every food, and even Ron Kiesler checked into the Beverly Hills Hotel, four blocks from the Beverly Hills police station. Ron Kiesler checked into the hotel. He was on the second floor. He wasn't in the bungalow with Hughes. If he called and ordered ham and eggs, he had to call the Hughes Summa Corporation. It wasn't the Summa then. It was the Hughes Tool Company on Romaine Street. And they would call the kitchen and tell him what to eat. He couldn't order his own food. He couldn't make his own calls. Howard Hughes had only one phone with no numbers on it. And every message, every person who saw him was trained. And the man who trained him, the man who took Ron Kiesler to the Beverly Hills Hotel, to Bungalow 4, and said, here's Howard Hughes' room, trained him with the law of entering that bungalow. You left 12 inches open. You slid in. You slid out. You put Kleenex on the doorknobs over there and no fingerprints. And there was a body inside being injected with heroin and cocaine. Even the autopsy of that double in Houston, it shows heavy doses of cocaine. And I met a screenwriter from Hollywood who told me he heard that Hughes was heavy on dope, that they had him totally doped. And the man who called me last week about the intelligence community said he could verify what I'm telling you on KLRB today. The man who is supplying all the egress and out way, the way you go in and out to the Hughes empire, the only phone calls in and out for Hughes, the only people in the door, the only bungalows, the only food that went there, the only food his aides ate was Captain Jan Egers. When Hughes checked in at the Beverly Hills Hotel in 1957, four blocks from the Beverly Hills Police Department and 59, Jack Egers, the same man mentioned in the Robert Hall case who resigned last week that I briefly mentioned on Dialogue Conspiracy, was the man in charge of the body of Howard Hughes, who was kept at the Beverly Hills Hotel. And now you know where the sources of the drugs were coming from. And the Hall story had to break. And like Watergate 4 years ago with the tape over the door, I felt that we would go and go until this thing unpeeled. Sometimes I think of myself philosophically as a Zen, and the mystery of Zen is peeling that onion. The mystery of peeling it is the act in itself. And when you get to the heart, you end up with nothing and as much mystery. But it's a little different here. I think that the conspiracy work has a center, a core, a heart. And if ever I believed in all my research that all the things I've talked about for 4.5, 5.5 years on KLRB had one core, I think that it would be in Captain Jack Egers of 17 years, the Beverly Hills Police Department, four blocks from Howard Hughes, prisoner in a bungalow at the Beverly Hills Hotel. If ever I refer to these names in Dialogue Conspiracy, and I will over and over again, get that in your cranny. And those of you that make tape cassettes of this show, distribute them to your friends and let them know what's happening. Well, Jack Egers worked 17 years Beverly Hills Police Department. When I heard his name last week, I had not made the connection to his being the person in charge of Howard Hughes, but I knew that G. Gordon Liddy and E. Howard Hunt, the Watergate plumbers that work with Robert Vesco, also were in Los Angeles working with Squad 19 and Louis Tackwood, the agent provocateur who was planning the riots for the convention rather in San Diego, the Republican National Convention in 1972 that was moved to Miami. I knew that the Los Angeles Police Department and the Beverly Hills Police Chief worked with the Beverly Hills officials because when G. Gordon Liddy and E. Howard Hunt and the Cubans broke into the offices of Dr. Lewis Fielding, they covered for the CIA, they covered for E. Howard Hunt, and they said that an Elmer Davis, confessed to the burglaries at the offices, even though Elmer Davis was in a Los Angeles jail the night the burglaries took place. They also asked him to confess to 55 other burglaries in the area. And now I wonder what Jack Eggers was doing, the chief of police of Beverly Hills, while all this was going on, the assistant chief of police. And I wonder who were the other 49 burglaries that they wanted Elmer Davis to confess. And did they have burglaries, say, from pharmacies where certain drugs were put there with these special chemicals that are linked to Mr. Hall that were supplied for him? The Los Angeles Times says he had chemical formulas, he had gas canisters, he had tranquilizer, guns, he had drug-located darts. I'll repeat that many times. This was part of his equipment as well. He did tape recording for Robert Vesco, and he did tape recordings for various people and bugging equipment, catching Robert Kennedy sleeping with various people. They fixed him up, and John Kennedy, and blackmailing the highest offices, the president, the senator, congressman. He had bugging equipment, and he knew what was going on in Hollywood. And I always said this country was run by bullets and blackmail. And the blackmail that between the combination of drugs and the tranquilizers and getting your resistance down and taping these conversations and photographing them, you can imagine what a web we have down in Beverly Hills, California. Well, they asked Elmer Davis to confess to these. He said he'd never been in Dr. Lewis Fielding's office when the story broke. He didn't know where it was, but they did put his name after it, and he was put in jail and then sent up to Folsom Prison and then destroyed by these people when he got out. Now, Hunt went directly to Beverly Hills at the time of the Watergate when he was wanted by the various law enforcement officials before he and G. Gordon Liddy were arrested. He stayed with an attorney by the name of Jackson, whose name I've looked up in the classified. He's not listed as an attorney. I have his first name at home. Hunt was there. He had links with the Beverly Hills Police, the Los Angeles Police, the CIA, and now he had closer links to this whole operation as the story is coming together. And how many links E. Howard Hunt had. He wrote a book on jazz. He was interested in jazz music and in the music scene. And I wonder if through the Central Intelligence Agency, because of his role in the John Kennedy assassination, the overthrow in Guatemala, the putting in the Shah of Iran, getting rid of Mossadegh, E. Howard Hunt was about to kill the president of Panama at the time of Watergate, these allegations. He belonged to the Domestic Operations Division that was involved with assassination teams and chemicals and weapons. So E. Howard Hunt's in Beverly Hills. The Beverly Hills Police are working for them. But the most important name of all is Mr. Captain Jack Eggers. 17 years with the Los Angeles Police Department. Had to overlap the Hughes story because Howard Hughes was in that bungalow from 1957 to 1966, where a body was reduced to something so frail that it had what they called a mystery operation, and against all laws in this country, it was accompanied by machine guns, carrying it like an arsenal, taken to a hospital in Boston. And that's another chapter in this saga. But in that interim from 57 to 59, Hughes was reduced to totally nothing while his Hughes Aircraft and the Hughes Tool Company and the Hughes Medical Institute were well on their way to amass huge fortunes to fund politicians, to supply drugs to these rock musicians, to break the music scene and to infiltrate the rock music scene. The Los Angeles Times article by William Farr says that Beverly Hills Police Captain Eggers had unexplained connections with Thomas Richardson. That's the stock swindler whose tapes they took. And he also was in Richardson's associations with Robert Vesco. They said that Thomas Richardson's tapes, along with Robert Hall's, who was murdered, now approximately 200 of them, plus reel-to-reel recordings and telephone calls and private conversations, were the reason that the assistant chief of police of Beverly Hills had resigned. Robert Hall was not only an electronics expert and a former employee of Robert Vesco, but he was employed by the Summa Corporation, the Hughes Corporation, with contacts to pharmacists, dentists, drug companies, chemicals, I repeat, in Beverly Hills, California. When he was found in his apartment, I've told you some of the machinery that was taken. They don't give us the names, but they tell us about the tranquilizer guns and the darts and the chemical formulas, but they don't tell us the chemical formulas. The case where Mr. Mott was charged with giving heroin to a Robbie McIntosh, a recording artist who had a big hit, and it turns out to have strychnine and heroin in it, and he died, and two others almost died. What chemical formulas did Robert Hall have? Well, this is Mae Brussel, Dialogue Conspiracy in Carmel, California. I have to call it quits because 45 minutes is up. I may next week go into each of the rock musicians that I was killed by this combine in Beverly Hills, California, with links to the CIA. So stay well. Until next week, I'll see you on Dialogue Conspiracy.
This has been Dialogue Conspiracy with political research specialist Mae Brussel, who for many years has been researching the facts behind political assassinations and conspiracies in this country. Dialogue Conspiracy originates with KLRB-FM in Carmel, California.